Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, A Love Song, Burial, and The Good Boss. Once again, how do you pick these?
I always go by the titles, Jill. That's it.
How I work in a bookstore, I really appreciate that. Okay.
Yeah, well, not really exactly. They're out now. That's what we do when we review movies. Every once in a while, we'll talk about some old classic for a while, but mostly we look for what's out there now and what people might be curious about. And in this case, we got three movies of very different quality, but they're all available right now for people to go see. So here are my opinions about them. I'll start off by saying that they are from different countries. A Love Song is an American movie. Burial is a British movie. And The Good Boss is a Spanish movie. Aside from that, they don't have a whole lot in common, except that they're all on sort of a fairly small scale. They're not big splashy movies. They're not comic book movies or anything like that. But as I mentioned, they are of very different levels of quality, I think. So let's start off with A Love Song. This is the first feature by a director named Max Walker Silverman, who also wrote the movie. And it's about a couple of old people. It has some minor characters, too, who are not quite as old. But bears out my ongoing theory that more movies have been made in recent years, and I guess will continue to be made, about an older demographic, because America is turning into an older demographic to some extent. A lot of people are getting older. There's a lot of old people around. I'm one of them, by the way. And so more movies are made to appeal to that demographic by being about members of that demographic. So A Love Song is definitely one of these. And the first character whom we meet in this movie is a woman whose name is Faye. And she is sort of camping in a way, you might say. She is living out in the middle of nowhere. She has a truck with a very small trailer attached to it, and she's living in it, and we don't really know her background or anything about what's going on here, although we find that out as the movie proceeds. And she likes to watch birds through her binoculars, and she likes to listen to her old transistor radio, and just sort of is out there all alone and just sort of living a very simple life. But she appears to be waiting for something. She has a calendar in her trailer, and she ticks off the days. So what is she waiting for? Well, we eventually discover she is waiting for a visit from a very, very, very old friend who is a man named Leto. And by the way, these characters are played by the woman, Faye, is played by the veteran actress Dale Dickey, and Leto is played by Wes Studi. Eventually in the movie, Leto shows up, and we discover that these two knew each other a very long time ago, and they've been wanting to get together, and this is their big reunion after a very long time of not seeing each other. And we wonder, is a romance going to grow out of this? Is that the purpose of their getting together after all this time? Clearly, these are old people who don't have any permanent partners in their lives at this point, so what's going on? But other things happen along the way in the movie as well. For example, a female couple come and visit Faye for a while, and they talk about how they would like to get married, but they can't ever seem to get around to it. And they're not old people like Faye, but they're older people. So we meet them, and we get to know them a little bit. There's also a group of locals, Mexicans, who come by and visit because they have a favor to ask of Faye. They would like her to move her truck and trailer and settle down in some other campsite. They're in an area where there are numbered campsites, and Faye has this particular one to herself. And they want her to move because they would like to dig up their father, who is buried there, and move him somewhere else because an oil rig has been set up that spoils the view. Of course, you have to wonder how much a review means to a view. review means to a dead person who is buried under the ground, but they would like to do that. But Faye won't give in. No, this is her spot, and she has to wait there. Of course, we find out that she has to wait there because that's where Leto is coming to meet her. And the people say, okay, we understand, and they go away. But they come back later on in the movie. So that's what this film is about. It's about very small incidents, and eventually it turns into the movie about the very old, long-standing, but long-suspended relationship between Faye and Leto, and they finally get together when he shows up, and we discover what develops out of that. It's a very nice movie. It's an incredibly quiet movie. It's a very sweet movie. At a time when I am always getting annoyed by the fact that most movies seem devoted to making as much noise as they possibly can and being full of as much action and jumping around and violence and whatnot, this is a movie that goes in the dead opposite direction. And fascinatingly, it goes too far in that direction. This movie is so restrained, so muted, so quiet that it's barely on the screen. And I really got tired of it after a while, and I haven't thought about it a whole lot since seeing it because it just doesn't linger in the memory. So if you want to see a quiet, sweet movie that's a kind of a romance in a way, and a very gentle romance about old people who have lived lives and have real experiences behind them, then this is the movie for you. I found it too quiet, too restrained for its own good. I wish it had a little bit more vividness to it. It's a nice movie, but again, I found it quite unmemorable, I am afraid. Our second movie today is very different. It is called Burial, and it is the second feature by an English director named Ben Parker, who also, again, in this case, wrote the movie as well as directed it. And yes, it's about a burial. The movie has a terrific beginning. There's an old woman who is living in her house, and a young man, a young thug, a young bad guy breaks in. And before you know it, and this is the very first scene of the movie, so isn't really a spoiler. She manages to totally disable him and tie him up, or rather handcuff him to a radiator, so he is helpless in her grasp. This young thug breaks into an old woman's house, and the first thing you know, she's got him completely at her mercy. And then they start to talk. Why did he break into her house? What's going on here? Well, it turns out to be related to something that happened to her many, many years earlier during World War II. And then she gives him a drug because she wants to tell him the real story of what happened way back then. And she tells the story, and that is the movie that we see. It is a long, long flashback. And at the end, we return to the present tense again with the young man handcuffed to the old woman's radiator. It turns out that back during World War II, this woman was part of a very unusual burial detail. She was Soviet at the time, and she was one of a small group of Russian soldiers who had gotten a hold, or been given rather, Adolf Hitler's corpse. And what their job is to bring it back to Moscow so that Stalin can personally look at this corpse and see it and understand what's happened. And this will all result in yet another stage in the total defeat of the Germans in World War II. And of course, the Soviets played a very large part in the total defeat of the Germans in World War II. So here we have these soldiers who are transporting Hitler's corpse, and they've got to transport it basically by motor vehicle, and their instructions are to bury it every night. This movie is called Burial, and there's a lot of burial that goes on in this movie. They've got to bury it every night and then dig it up in the morning and put it back on the vehicle and transport it another increment of distance, and then bury it again and so forth, all until it gets back to Stalin. Well, things don't go quite as planned. Attacks take place. They're under siege. They're being shot out. They're being... oh, all kinds of awful things are happening. This is basically a war movie. It's not about big masses of troops fighting each other. It's about a little group of troops who are fighting this other little group of troops. But that's basically what it boils down to. And of course, the suspense is, are they ever going to get to Moscow? Are they ever going to fulfill this mission? And stuff like that. So in a way, that the idea of Adolf Hitler's corpse, who is kind of the main character in this movie, you only see it a little bit, mostly near the end. But it's there in its coffin. It's what Alfred Hitchcock, the great great, great filmmaker. He used to call a MacGuffin. A MacGuffin is something that doesn't really matter to the audience very much in a movie. And this corpse doesn't really matter much. Again, we hardly see the thing. We see the coffin from time to time, but we hardly ever see the corpse itself. It doesn't really matter to us, but it's something that the characters are all fussing about. And it is really at the center of their activities. It gives them something to do. The one group that is transporting and defending the corpse, the other group that is attacking and trying to get a hold of the corpse. It's basically a MacGuffin. It's something that doesn't really mean anything. It's just a rather interesting way of keeping the characters fighting each other and doing things throughout the movie. So it's not really a movie about Hitler or about World War II or any of that. It's really a movie about these small groups of soldiers fighting each other on different sides. Is it a good movie? I didn't think so. It's basically a whole lot of shooting scenes and hiding scenes. And the acting, I thought, was very, very iffy, not very good. Some of the scenes are just so bogus, so false, so artificial that I couldn't buy them at all. And ultimately, I found the movie turned into rather a bore. So, yeah, I'm afraid Burial is not a very interesting movie. If you're really interested in World War II, if you're really interested in Hitler's corpse, then I suppose it's worth seeing. But I did not find it a very effective movie as a horror movie, as a war movie, as a suspense movie. The beginning was great. The end is okay. But the whole middle section, which goes on for most of the movie, I just found very uninvolving. So I'm afraid I can't recommend Burial. I say, bury the thing. So, our final movie now at long last, Jill, a good movie, The Good Boss. This is a Spanish movie by Fernando León de Aranoa, who about 20 years ago made another movie with Javier Bardem called Mondays in the Sun. And I am so glad that this movie is just about as good as that one, maybe even better. It's a very, very good movie. I really liked it. So, the wonderful Javier Bardem plays a good boss. He's the boss of a company that makes scales, the kind of scales that you weigh things on. It's a big company, it's a successful company, and something is going on right now. They are waiting for a committee to come from the regional government and consider them for a very important prize. And if they get this prize, it will help them get contracts and work in the future. So they really want to put the best possible face they can on their operation so they get this prize. In the meanwhile, we get to understand the personality of the boss of the company. His name is Blanco. The company is called Blanco Scales. He is the Javier Bardem character. And he really prides himself on being a good boss. He regards all of his employees at every level as being part of one big happy family. And he's the very patriarchal boss who takes care of everybody and cares about their problems and does everything he can to keep the factory running on a smooth basis because it makes everybody happy, them as well as him. But of course, a lot of problems crop up along the way that he has to deal with over the course of the movie. One problem is that an employee has just been laid off and is very bitter about this and sets himself up on land, publicly owned land, so the boss can't do anything about it, right adjacent to the factory, and has a bullhorn and sets up posters and cries out his protests about how unfairly he's being treated, and even has his little kids there to witness all this. And this goes on day after day. It won't make a very good impression on the prize-giving committee, but what is the good boss going to do about this? How can he solve this? It's a problem that continues to face him through most of the movie. Another problem, one of his key employees who is in charge of very important parts of the operation is going through some kind of marital strife, and he is not doing a good job at his assigned tasks. He turns out to be a very, very old friend of the good boss who wants to help him both on a personal level and on a company level, but it just seems to be an intractable problem that won't go away. And the good boss spends enormous amounts of time and energy and creativity trying to help his old friend overcome this marital problem, and nothing seems to work. Then another complication crops up, and that is that some new interns come to work at the plant. And this, by the way, is a part of the movie that I found less inspired, because it's the kind of thing that happens in too many movies. One of the interns is a very attractive young woman, and yes, the good boss gets very attracted to her and ends up having an affair with her. So again, this is kind of a cliched aspect of the movie. But some interesting and unexpected things do happen along the way during this affair. We find out things about their relationship, which we didn't suspect at the beginning, which even the good boss didn't suspect at the beginning. And so various interesting things come out of even that rather unoriginal part of the movie. All the way, the good boss and the company employees are getting ready for the visit of the prize committee, and one complication comes up after another, and we watch them get solved or not get solved, and that's the entertainment of the movie. The movie is largely a comedy, although it's also sort of a drama. The comedy is not broad physical humor, slapstick or anything. It's subtler than that, and it's very amusing. It's not the kind of movie that makes you laugh out loud, but it's the kind of movie that makes you smile and appreciate the sort of wry humor of it. And of course, Javier Bardem is absolutely spectacular. What a wonderful actor he is, and what a wonderful job he does with this character. So I really, really like The Good Boss, and it's a movie I recommend very highly. It's a dramedy, it has its laughs, it has its smiles, it has its drama, it has its suspense, and it's very, very beautifully done by all concerned. Beautifully photographed, beautifully edited, the story moves along at a good pace, you don't really feel it's full 2 hours of length, it moves along quite swiftly. So if you want to see a good movie right now, see The Good Boss. It's a good movie. And that is my international story this week, Joe.
For which we thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films A Love Song, Burial, and The Good Boss.